Catherine Rains, and she's going to be presenting Health from Head to Toe, results from a multidisciplinary weight maintenance program. And Catherine earned her Master's of Public Health from St. Louis University. She currently works as a program evaluator for St. Louis Children's Hospital, where she evaluates outreach programs in injury prevention, medical screening, asthma and physical activity, and nutrition.
Well, thank you all for coming to this session, and it's been great to hear so many good things so far, and definitely things that we can take back into our own cities. So a little bit about St. Louis Children's Hospital. We are an urban children's pediatric hospital. We have about 250-plus beds, and we're really excited to be here in Boston. We're a little disappointed at home about the outcome of the World Series. but one thing we really like about Cardinals Nation is we are compassionate, and we are so happy for Boston. We know we'll get our chance. Soon. So, I have nothing, no relationship to disclose. So, a little bit about pediatric obesity. Many of you know the scope of this issue. According to our Missouri information, we have about 15.5% of our youth are overweight, and 14.9% of our youth are obese, according to the Youth Behavior Risk Surveillance Survey. We have, and that only kind of gives a broad aggregate picture, as you know. In St. Louis, we have a city that is highly segregated based on racial and ethnicity and also on income. And so you can have a street with mansions, essentially, $400,000, $500,000 homes, which is really, really expensive in St. Louis, or plus. And then on the next street over, or two streets down, you can have vacant lots, homes that are, really, really low, $30,000 homes. So, and they can even be this, the homes almost can look the same from the outside, but if they're in a certain area of the city, they're worth so much less. So we have these kinds of issues. And so one of the things, we have issues with food deserts, and we have a lot of issues that come with that. And so as a hospital, we've been doing some outreach in our community to assess the BMI of certain areas. And we have a school district that we assess that has 22% of their school, of their population from kindergarten through 12th grade, who are obese, and then 16.2% who are overweight. So this is really a personal issue for many people in our city, and it's something we struggle with. And of course, we know that there are lots of implications of obesity in kids. So what we have decided, Children's Hospital, we have a mission. Our mission is to do what's right for kids. And so as part of that, we are giving back to the community. So a lot of the things that we've heard at this conference are researchers going forward and using the skills and evidence that we have to do more research and to help community-based participatory research projects. We take a little bit of a different approach. This is a program that we are providing for the community because we feel like that's part of our mission, is to provide this information. And we feel like it's important that we use evidence-based practices. So Head to Toe is our obesity management program for youth. It is family-centered. It builds on knowledge and skills. And we incorporate a multidisciplinary approach with physical activity, nutrition, and emotional health. And we were recently submitted our program to the Health and Communities Institute Promising Practices Network, and we found that our program is an effective practice. Great. And then I have a little video that's going to share, hopefully, a little bit more pictures are worth a thousand words of what we do in our program. It's not Emmy nominated, though.
Learning the keys to healthy eating and improving self-esteem.
So that was a little spot we had on TV. We're trying to get the word out. So as you can kind of see from the video, this is it's a program that's made of multi-components. It's a 16-week program that has 12 sessions. So for the first 8 weeks, the kids and their families come every week, and then after that, it's every other week until the session is over. The kids have to come with their families. We found that's what's evidence-based is for the families to be participating together. So the children have to bring a parent or guardian with them, and oftentimes they'll bring their siblings as well because it's a family intervention. So this is really targeted towards kids who already have a weight management issue. So while it can be for kids with normal weight, and sometimes their siblings will be normal weight, this is really an early intervention to try to get those kids, as they're growing, to be able to learn those habits that will help them grow into their weight. So we don't promote it as a weight loss program. We promote it as a weight maintenance program because we're really trying to teach these kids and their families the skills that it takes to have this be a lifestyle change for them. And a lot of the times, these kids might be funneled into clinical programs, and we find that that is not as effective as these family-based interventions, and sometimes they have to be, you know, they aren't sick enough for a clinical program, and we find that this is a really good way to reach out and get those kids an early intervention, and we make it's a really cost-effective program. Again, we're teaching them the skills. You know, they learn how to read food labels, why sugary beverages are so unhealthy, how to monitor their screen time. The staff provide, we also have our social work staff, which is really a key component. They help talk with the kids about how to deal with stress, how to respond to the media and body image messages that they're getting constantly. And so that's really, it's a kind of a three-tiered approach in that sense. Every single time they come to this class, they have a video workout activity, usually a five-minute, like a kickboxing video, or they'll do some yoga or Zumba. They're trying to get as much exposure to different kinds of physical activity as possible so that kids can understand that working out can be fun and can be something they incorporate into their daily lives and not something that's an added chore. We've also expanded our program to include two community hospitals that in our healthcare system. Our healthcare system has about 13 hospitals, and so we communicate and provide materials for them and technical assistance, but none of our results today are included from those hospitals. So just a little bit, lessons learned in terms of implementation. So here's some effective strategies. You know, one of the really major limitations for these kinds of activities are attrition, and we find that we have participated with other children's hospitals and focus groups. We worked on Focus on a Fitter Future, and we see that that is a major limitation, is just people signing up and then not coming. So we charge $60 for this session, which is a pretty nominal fee, but it is, some people cannot pay that. And so we do have a scholarship program for those folks who can't pay. But what we do is we charge a $60 fee, and then if they have a 100% attendance, then we refund that to them. So it's a little bit, they have a little bit of skin in the game to an incentive to come back. Also, other things that we have done are contests and drawings and door prizes. And we find that if we can get them to come about 8 or 9 weeks, then they can usually complete the program. So it's really making it fun and interesting and trying to find ways to engage them. It's really important to maintain communication with our participants. So we need to remind them, you know, if there's a change in schedule due to weather, or when we change from the once a week program to the twice a week program, we make sure we give phone calls and reminders. We're interfacing with them on Facebook, and they have an accountability check-in at 4 to 6 weeks so that they can talk and about their questions that they still have, and that they can own up to what their goals and how they're doing on that. They have a midpoint weigh-in. So I think, you know, I was talking to our program coordinator before coming here and getting kind of picking her brain about this, and she said, you know, it's really important to let kids know that you have confidence in them and that you know that they can meet their goals and that you kind of challenge them to say, look, we know that you can meet this and that would make us look really good if we can just have your goal and you exceed it, but it's really important that you give them the confidence that we can exceed, we can really excel and make really hard goals and you can meet those goals. And of course, some limitations too, from an evaluation perspective, because that's where I come in. We're not present at the meetings generally. It's a really kind of a intimate setting with just the facilitator and the participants. So we're not present, but it's really important for us as evaluators to make sure that the staff facilitators are trained on how to do that evaluation and to teach them on the importance of it, because sometimes program coordinators are really excited about what they do, but they don't always see evaluation as important as much as I do anyway, which I guess I have placed, you know, the highest value on evaluation. So going into speaking of evaluation, I wanted to share some of our results with you guys. We do a pre-test, post-test, single group design. We have a pre- and post-test for knowledge, fitness, and for readiness to change. Our fitness, we measure through push-ups, crunches, and the sit and reach test. And then we've also just started using the BEEP test to measure VO2 max. We previously used the half-mile run, but due to space constraints, we've eliminated that test. And that's actually something that we've changed. We used to have our program housed in a local rec center, but we've actually changed it and moved it into our hospital on our campus. It's helped us save money, and it's also helped, I think, create a more central location. We have better public transportation access to our hospital than we did previously, and that was one of the things that was mentioned when we did focus groups on why people were not coming or not completing the program, was transportation was a huge issue, and so we hope that with the change in the locations that we're able to help address that a little bit. We also do height and weight tests for BMI. Again, like I said, at the beginning, midpoint, and at the end. We do a self-report questionnaire for nutrition and physical activity and screen time at the beginning and end, where we ask how many days a week they're complying with the goals that we have set. And then we also will often have the adults fill this out, too, just to help them kind of be motivated, because we really encourage the adults to do this along with their children. For the emotional health piece, we use the Pearce-Harris II self-concept scale, which measures how the child perceives themselves compared to their peers, and that's measured at the beginning and the end of the program. So we'd like to share some evaluation results with you. These are fresh results. We're really excited about them. So because our sessions are really intimate settings, they're about 10 to 14 people per session per night, and we usually have a couple nights every semester, and then we repeat that. We have low sample sizes, so that is a limitation, you know, to our evaluation. So we've been able to compile several years worth of data into get some good results with pre and post tests. So we show a significant decrease in BMI, the mean BMI, from pre-test to post-test. We also show significant increases in knowledge in the sit and reach test, which says inches there, but I'm pretty sure it's centimeters, and push-ups and crunches. So we see that with this program, the participants are increasing in knowledge and skills, and they're also showing slight decreases in BMI, which is great, because our goal really is for them to maintain their weight and to learn these skills. So that is really exciting news for us. So when we look at physical activity and fruit and vegetable consumption, It's kind of a mixed bag here, you know. So we see that there was no statistically significant difference in the in physical activity and behavior changes on days per week that they participate in physical activity or fruit and vegetable or eat five fruits and vegetables, which is what the measurement is. But we do see a tend to increase their fruit and vegetable consumption and to basically for the physical activities to stay the same. But I think one of the major limitations that we have with our self-report study is for the kids aren't tracking their physical activity and fruit and vegetable consumption until they learn how to in our program. So I think their pre-information that they have in their head is a little bit different than what they're doing. And so it's a little bit different in terms of our results there. Okay, so we also measure physical activity, behavior, and screen time. And what we see here really is more of a shift towards what we recommend, which is 31 to 50 minutes a day for physical activity. And for screen time, we see a shift towards 1 to 2 hours a day or fewer, or less than 1 hour. So that's really what we're seeing here. It's a little complicated in terms of the graph. But while there's no statistically significant results here, and again, this is a really low sample size, but we're seeing shifts in the positive direction, which is really what we want to see. So we also measure their beverage consumption. This is, again, a self-report. So we're excited to see that they're drinking more water, and this is a statistically significant result. We see they're also drinking a little bit more juice and soda, but not in a statistically significant way. So we're hoping that, again, this is a 16-week intervention. We're hoping that these small changes and these results show that we're making an impact in their knowledge and their skills, and they're taking these things and using them in their life. So we also measure readiness to change in terms of physical activity and nutrition. And we see that we see sort of a shift towards the preparation stage, which I think is kind of what we would expect here. You know, we're giving them the tools and the skills, and some of them are moving. We have a lot of people in action for nutrition, but in terms of physical activity, they're really gaining the skills and the confidence that they can move forward and use these in their life. So just in conclusion, this is an effective program, especially, as we say, increasing knowledge and improving fitness skills and maintaining the weight. For a future evaluation, we really like to target more about, you know, teasing out more of the attrition issues and how we can improve that. Also teasing out some of our, you know, gathering more data and understanding how we can help improve those behaviors even further. So thank you for your time.